Have you ever had a night when your brain just wouldn't shut off? Anybody had that last night? Just thinking, trying to figure it all out. You ever felt like that fear of what is in the future is kind of running the show? That because of something that I can't quite figure out, whether it's relational or financial or whatever, maybe it's my career, that's kind of running how I live my life today. And no matter what I do, I just can't seem to quiet my mind. And I lie awake at night. I just want to get some sleep, but I can't because I'm just so anxious about what's coming up in the future. Everybody's had that. Everybody has had those experiences where there's something that we can't figure out in the future, and it's really impacting me right now. It's impacting my relationships, it's impacting my work, it's impacting my sleep, it's impacting my mood. All of us had that. And all of us have an answer to this question. When I am afraid, all of us answer this question differently. You have an answer, and you've never thought about the answer to this question, but naturally, you react in a way when you're afraid. For some of us, when I am afraid, I try to drown that fear, and I find myself on social media, swiping through, or I find myself in alcohol, just trying to drown that future thing that's causing me anxiety. I need to get that out of my mind, and so I do something now to kind of damper down that feeling. For some of us, when I'm afraid, our tempers start to get pretty short. I'm anxious about something in the future, and then you say something to me, and boy, my temper is just so quick, and I say things that I had to go back and apologize for. Some of us, when I'm afraid, I just go into a cocoon. I just shut everybody out. I don't want to ask anybody for help. I just want to figure it out on my own. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. I've just got to get this all figured out. You have an answer to that question. You might not have thought what the answer is or should be, but all of us are afraid of things. All of us have things in the future that we can't figure out. And all of us respond in a way when we are afraid. And so the question that comes up when we're thinking about Scripture and what does Scripture say about that is, what are you going to do next time? Next time fear comes. And maybe next time is the current time. Or maybe next time is next week, or maybe next time is in a month, or when your kids start to think about their college life, or whatever that is, you are gonna have a next time. What are you gonna do when fear comes? I think it's possible for you to put something better in the blank. I have no ability to remove things that are fearful from your life. I don't have that power. I wish I did. And for some of you, if you could fix it, you already would have. If it was just an easy fix, you would have already done it. But it's not. And so today is not talking about how do I remove fearful things from my life, because that's not the world we live in. What we're trying to get to is when inevitably I get to that crossroads of I have anxiety, I have to put something in the blank, we think that there's something better that you can put in. So the big idea of today, if you fall asleep or if you're watching on the internet and you lose internet connection or whatever that looks like, here's the big idea of today, that when anxiety won't let go, choose to trust the God who never lets go of you. That when you are in that cycle, that season, that moment where it just feels like anxiety is running the show of my life, when you get to that crossroads, and you are, what I'm gonna invite you to do, what David is gonna invite you to do, what your Heavenly Father who loves you is gonna invite you to do, is to hold on to a God that holds on to you. There's an extraordinary encounter that David had. You know David and Goliath, King David, the king of Israel. He was like the manly man. He was a guy that fought bears and fought lions and could. He was just an awesome guy. He goes and has this encounter where he is running from Saul. Saul is the king of Israel. And Saul feels like David is going to take Jonathan, Saul's son's, place on the throne. And so Saul is jealous, and he's out to get David, and he's trying to kill him. And as you can imagine, that brought a lot of anxiety into David's life. And so Saul is chasing David. David is on the run. There's nobody that he can trust. He's not sure if his friends are gonna turn on him. He feels like every person could be a person that is an assassin. And so you can imagine the anxiety. And so David does what nobody would have expected him to do, and he runs to the Philistine city of Gath. Now, if Gath sounds familiar to you, Gath is the city that Goliath, the giant who David killed, That's where he was from. And so David, in this panic moment, does something that you wouldn't do. Why would you go to the enemy city in an attempt to hide out? And 1 Samuel, you don't have to go there. We're just going to be here for a second. But 1 Samuel chapter 21 kind of gives us a little bit of a taste of how that happened, and then we'll get to Psalm 56 after that. David, King David, Goliath slayer, giant killer, man amongst men, fled that day from Saul's presence and went to King Achish of Gath. But Achish's servants said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Don't they sing about him during their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And David took this to heart and became exactly like what we would become. He became very afraid of the king. Well, now I'm in a really bad spot. Saul is trying to kill me. Now I'm in enemy territory. I took out their giant. Now they found me out. What am I going to do? And so here's what he put something in the blank. "When I am afraid, I..." And David had this moment where he said, "I'm going to pretend to be a crazy person. I'm going to pretend to be insane." This is the story. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. He acted like a madman around them, scribbling on the doors of the city gate and letting saliva run down his beard. He filled something in that blank. And your anxiety and your fear about what's coming up in the future, let's be honest, it's not an army running after you, but it's just as real to you. It's something about, I don't know how it's all going to work out. David's circumstances, yeah, they're different than yours, but they're just as real as yours. And so anxiety, it doesn't discriminate. It comes for all of us. And some of the men, especially the manly men, we've kind of been taught, no, anxiety's not a thing that you deal with. You just gotta fix it. You figure it out. You kind of just buckle down and you do it. Well, David, not being critical, David's more of a man than you are, okay, right? Like, when was the last time that you took on a bear with your bare hands? You haven't done that. David did. And David, anxiety got a hold of him. And David, with the gift later of time, he writes about this experience in what we know as Psalm 56. And he writes about this time where he filled the blank of fear with, I'm gonna pretend like I'm insane. But then later, with the gift of time, he looks back and he says, I could have filled that with something better. I could have filled that with something different. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be able to fill the fear that comes, whether it's small or whether it's big, with something better. I can't remove fear. I can't make it go away. I can't fix what's going on. And I'm not here to say that it's not real and it's not important, because it is. But what we fill in the blank really, really matters. And so if you have a Bible, again, if you want to follow along, it's going to be on the screens. But Psalm 56, it gives us not the antidote to making sure fear doesn't come, but it gives us what to put in that blank when that fear comes. Psalm 56, we're just going to read each of the verses together and find out some information about it. Hopefully it will encourage you. Psalm 56, verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man is trampling me." Again, David is writing this about the time that he was in Gath. People were chasing him, all the craziness. He's looking back, and this is a song. You can, if you have a printed Bible, it says at the top, it's to be sung to a certain tune. We have no idea what tune it is, but it's a song that David wrote about that time. "Be gracious to me, O God, for man is trampling me. He fights and oppresses me all day long. My adversaries trample against me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me." He's just saying, this is what's going on in my life. You have your own story. You would start your song, "God, I'm struggling because I don't know if I'm going to get into the right college. God, I'm struggling and I have anxiety because I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills. God, I have anxiety because we're trying to get pregnant and we can't get pregnant. God, I'm anxious because my marriage is falling apart and I don't know how to fix it. God, I'm anxious because..." You would have your own. And it's important and it matters. And it's real. What does David do? Verse number 3, "When I am afraid," here's our blank, "I will trust in you." Everybody put something in the blank. "When I am afraid, I." Now in Samuel 21, David put, "Well, I'm going to pretend to be crazy. I'm going to scratch at doors. I'm going to let saliva run down my beard." But later, with the gift of time, and who knows what happened in his life, but David was able to say, I am afraid, and I do have anxiety, and in that, I'm going to trust in God. Because faith, this is important for us to remember, especially for those of you that are really trying to dive deep into your faith and really get connected to God. Faith doesn't mean you never feel fear. Sometimes we try to over-spiritualize it. Sometimes we try to make it sound like, well, because I'm spiritual, I shouldn't feel fear. I should just be able to pray this fear away. Or if I was really connected to God, I wouldn't experience that. No, no, no. David, who was called a man after God's own heart, who was the greatest king of Israel, experienced at the same time faith and fear. Those two things do not have to be mutually exclusive. Faith means that, yes, I have fear and I'm going to trust God with it. Yes, I have fear of what's coming in the future, and when I have to put something in the blank, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to trust you with what I can't fix on my own. Because again, if you could have fixed it, you would have. If it was just an easy, I just need to do this and I need to do that, and then you would have already done that because you're smart and you're capable. But when it comes to, I can't figure this out on my own, what do? You can hold faith and fear at the same time. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And then verse number 4, it says this, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. Listen to this transition. Well, I will not be afraid. What a fascinating time. Verse number 3, he says, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. But because I trust in God, maybe I don't have to be afraid. What's the transition? What happened? Was it because everything got fixed? Was it because between those two verses that all the problems that he was facing went away? No. Something settled in his heart. God is with me. God is for me. I trust in God. And because of trust, I still have all this external pressure, and yet I have a confidence, and this is who God is. Do you know what God's ultimate goal for your life is? God's ultimate goal for your life is not for you to attend church in the mornings. God's ultimate goal for your life is not to be somebody that is a nice person. God's goal for your life isn't even for you to be a moral person or to make adjustments so that you can be a more moral person. His goal for your life is not behavior modification. God's ultimate goal for your life is trust. If God could simply get you to trust him, everything else follows behind that. What does God want us to do? He wants us to trust in what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What is it? I trust in what Jesus has done. And so not only does God want us to trust him for our future in eternity down the road, he wants us to trust him today, right now. When I am afraid of my career, of my relationships, of my finances, whatever that looks like, I'm going to trust God. Not because he's a genie in a bottle and is going to fix it, but because he holds it all in his hand. That the things that are giving me anxiety are not bigger than God. That trust is an active decision to lean on, this is who God is, and this is what God has promised. That's what trust is. God's ultimate goal for your life, trust me. Just trust me. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me that I know how to work this out. Trust me that I haven't forgotten. Trust me that I am still in your life and at your life, and I am listening and I am hearing. I want you to trust. Not as a genie in a bottle who's just going to fix all the things, and if I do all the right things and get God's equation, then he'll solve all my problems. That's not trust. That's hope and wishful thinking, and thinking of God as just this magic potion that you pull down. Trust is, God, I have this. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm frustrated that it hasn't worked out yet, and I'm going to trust you in the middle. I'm going to trust you in spite of not everything is like I want it to be. I know because of God's character, I know that he's with me. I know because of his promise that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. That's what trust is. Your circumstances, my circumstances, do not have to change in order for you to trust God. That you can have circumstances that you don't want, circumstances that you wish were different, and you can trust God at the same time. You can hold both of those in your hand. Verse number 5 goes like this. They twist my words all day long. He's saying, this is a real thing. And in your life, again, you don't have to like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, no. David is saying it is a big deal. It is a problem. And so in your life, you can just be honest and say, yeah, this is a big deal. And it might not be a big deal to somebody else, but it's a big deal to me. And maybe somebody else could have figured it out. And maybe what is giving me anxiety wouldn't give you anxiety, but it's bothering me. And that's okay. That's okay. The things that worry you might not worry me. But the things that worry me might not worry you. And so David is just being honest. And you can be honest. Yeah, there are some really big things going on in my life. They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Will they escape in spite of such sin? God, bring down the nations in your wrath. In other words, you can be honest with God. You don't have to make your prayers pretty. You don't have to, just have all these memorized prayers. No, your prayers can be ugly and they can be broken and they can be messed up. Your prayers can just be tears. Those are real prayers. Listen to this transition, verse number 8, I love this. You yourself have recorded my wanderings. You put my tears in a bottle, which is a real thing. In ancient, we wouldn't do this today, but in ancient times, people would literally capture other people's tears in a bottle as a reminder of their grief and their sorrow and their struggle that they're going through. And David is saying, the same God who I trusted when I killed Goliath is close enough to be able to see the tears that I cry, and he's captured them. He's remembered them. He hasn't forgotten me. He was with me in the battle. He was with me when I was the shepherd. He's with me when I'm on the run, and he sees all of the chaos that's in my life. In other words, here's what David's saying. I'm not alone in this. I don't have to go through this on my own. He put my tears in a bottle, and are they not in your book? David recognizes what I hope you recognize. That God is not unaware of what's going on in your life. That God sees and God knows. And we want God to fix, and he doesn't always do that. But God is paying attention. Every sleepless night, every anxious thought, he sees it all and he cares deeply. And what does he invite you to do? Trust. I want you to trust in it. Again, collecting tears, it was a real thing. And David says, all of those tears that I've cried and all the tears that you've cried, all those tears that nobody else knows that you've cried, all those tears that you've brushed away and said, I don't have time for this right now. God knows, God sees, God cares, and God was with you in it. Every anxious moment, every time when your heart was racing, how is it all gonna work out? God sees and God remembers it all. Verse number 9, then my enemies will retreat on the day when I call. I love this. I don't know, if you have a printed Bible, it's such a great thing to underline and highlight and push arrows. I would do it for this verse, Psalm 56, verse 9 at the end. This I know, God is for me. Here's what I know. Ultimately, God is for me. Not based on my current circumstances, but based on God's character. I can know God's with you. You know why you're anxious? Anxiety, for all of us, is rooted in the unknown. You're not anxious about something that's already happened. You can be embarrassed about it. You can be frustrated about it. You can be angry about it, but you're not anxious about it because it's already happened. The only time you're anxious is about something in the future. You're worried about something that hasn't come yet. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if they rejected me? The last time that you were up in the middle of the night, what did it have to do with anxiety looking forward? So anxiety comes from I don't know, and David is saying God's peace comes from this is what, go to that next slide, this is what I do know. I know that in the middle of it, and when I can't see what's coming forward, I know God is with me. God is for me, and that one truth can anchor me. There's still uncertainty. There's still things that are unknown, and in it, I know God's character is unchanging. God's character is that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble, that he's never left me, that he's never forsaken me, that he's always been with me, that he is an anchor for my soul. That is God's character. That's what I know. Even though I'm in the middle of, there's a lot of things I don't know. Verse number 10 says it this way. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. And then David says something that seems a little bit, I don't know what the word is, seems a little bit naive almost. What can mere humans do to me? And our answer to that question is, well, actually, humans can do a lot of things. to me. Thank you very much. They can fire me. They can not give me the bonus that I thought I was going to get. They can divorce me. They can leave me. They can abandon me. They can lie to me. Humans can do all sorts of things. In fact, the reason that I'm anxious is because there is a human that I think might do something to me or might not do something to me. And so, of course, David, the reason that I'm anxious is because of something that somebody else can do. David understood that because, again, we've been seeing all the things. He's been chased. If the wrong person sees him, they're going to kill him. If the wrong person sees him, they're going to bring him back to Saul, and his life is going to be over. And so David is not naive to people can do things to you. What David is trying to get us to remember, the same thing that Jesus would later tell his disciples in Matthew, there are some things that nobody can take away from you. Jesus said it this way, don't be afraid of the ones that can only harm the body but can't harm the soul. In other words, what Jesus was saying to his disciples is the same thing that David is saying here in Psalms 56, that there are, yes, people can do things to you. People can hurt you and wound you and lie about you and make your life miserable, but your soul, that's only something that God can touch. That they can harm your body, they can't touch your soul. They can mess up your circumstances, but they can't change your standing with God. They can threaten what you have, but they can't threaten who you have. And so David is saying, Jesus again would tell his disciples, what can people do to me? Well, they can do a lot in the moment, but ultimately I'm okay. They can mess me up in my current life, but my future is sustained by a God in whom I trust. What's God's ultimate goal for your life? Trust. Trust. That God, in these circumstances that I wouldn't have wished on myself, you are still there. God, David's confidence is rooted. God's presence is with me. God is with me no matter what I'm going through. And then that confidence, and here we're going to finish up, that confidence that God is with me, that when I am afraid, I'm going to trust, that confidence that, yeah, people could literally kill me, but if that happens, then I'm still going to be safe with God. David's confidence there led him to this next decision, and here's where I'm inviting you to go today. Verse number 12 and 13. I'm obligated by my vows to you, God. I will make my thanksgiving sacrifice to you, for you rescued me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life. Here's what David is saying, is I'm not going to let what's happening in my life in this moment change what I have previously committed to the type of person I'm going to be. I'm not going to let this momentary anxiety that I have shake my ultimate confidence and my ultimate trust in God. That at some point, David has made the decision, this is the type of person I'm going to be. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to live my life for God. I'm going to be the type of person that God can shape and change and direct. And my current trouble, my current anxiety is not going to shift that. That I am going to be the person that I said I was going to be on the good days and on the bad days. Here, let me finish with this. Your theology of God cannot be based on your current circumstances. Listen, if your theology of God is based on what's happening currently in your life, you will have the wrong theology. Because some days you're going to be in great shape. And if you let your theology of God be based on your best day, you're going to assume about God, everything that I want, God will give me. And God will give me a good bank account, and God will give me great relationships, and God will give me the job that I want, and God is just my genie in a bottle, and everything that I want, I will have, because my theology is based on right now, I'm in great shape. Bad theology. Because eventually all of us are going to be on the other side of the coin. And the bank account isn't working, and the job didn't work, and I didn't get invited, and I didn't get asked, and I did all of these bad things. And if my theology is based on that, then I'm going to think, well, God's out to get me. But God's not really here for me. God doesn't care about me. God is not involved in my day-to-day life. I can't let my theology be based on my current day-to-day happenings. My theology is based on God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. My theology is based on the cross. My theology is based on what Jesus has done. And so on my good days, I trust in Jesus. On my bad days, I trust in Jesus. On the days where nothing is going right, my theology is based on, well, God is still good. When everything is going the exact way that I want it to go, my theology is based on, well, God is still good. And it's not because of me, it's because of who he is. And so David said, yeah, in my anxiety, I'm still gonna praise God. I'm still gonna be the person that I said I was going to be. In your life, in my life, anxiety doesn't have to have the final word. It will have a word. Let's be honest with ourselves. Anxiety will have a word in your life. It just will. It will come knocking at your door. You have to decide, what do I put in the blank? When I am afraid, everybody does something. David reminds us, and David, what he discovered at Gath was God was trustworthy in the middle of it. Yes, anxiety is gonna come. God's trustworthy in the middle of it. What if my current anxiety isn't just something that I survive? What if it could be something that it's an opportunity to discover, like David did, that there are some things in my life that nothing can shake? That there are some things in my life that no matter what else happens, they can't take it away from me. My foundation is secure, and this is who God is. And so I've got some homework for you this week. I know you didn't come to church to get homework, but one of these days you can have your own church and have a microphone and you can do what you want. I'm giving you homework this week because my name is Kyle and I'm your friend. Here's your homework for the week. Here's what I would love for you to consider doing. And you're so smart, you're so capable, you will not have any trouble doing this whatsoever. I want you to memorize something for me. I want you to memorize something for me. Just one verse. I want you to memorize Psalm 56, verse number 3. Super simple. You all can do this because your IQ is second to none. Psalm 56, verse 3. I want all of you to remember it. Here's all it says. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. You just memorize that. Because one of these days, you're gonna be afraid. And you're gonna put something in that blank. And I want you to trust. Because that's God's ultimate goal for your life. When I am afraid, I'll trust in you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, for some of us, this is something that we'll need down the road. And so I'm praying that you would plant this in our hearts, that when we are afraid, whenever that comes, that we will remember this moment, that we will remember that in the middle of it, God, you are trustworthy. Lord, for some of us, we need this today because we didn't sleep last night and we don't know how things are gonna work out this week. And so Lord, I am praying that you would give us just enough faith, just enough confidence to be able to say, when I am afraid, I'm gonna trust in you. Lord, would you this year in 2025, would you grow our trust in you? We wanna be people that lean fully onto you on our good days and on our bad, when things are going exactly right and when we can't seem to figure out which way is up. Lord, would you help us to anchor ourselves in that you are a good Father who loves us, who have called us according to your purpose, you are for us, that you are with us. Let that be the anchor of our life. Lord, I'm praying for people that are in the middle of this right now. I am praying for relief. I'm so grateful that we can pray for you to change our circumstances. And I am praying that for people. Lord, I am praying that relationships would be healed. Lord, I am praying that bodies would be strengthened. I am praying that finances would turn around. I'm praying for all of those things for people. And Lord, I'm also praying that in the middle of it, that you would help us to trust. Help us to trust in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.